Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we celebrate yet another promise of Jesus being fulfilled. His promise to send his Holy Spirit from heaven after he had ascended into heaven. He did that on the day of Pentecost, which we will now take a few moments to consider. Pentecost, as we review, means 50. And it was 50 days after Easter, which was also the Jewish Passover. In the Old Testament, God had commanded his people Israel to go to Jerusalem every year and celebrate the Feast of Weeks, 7 weeks after Passover. It was a festival of first fruits, when the harvest of wheat finally came in, and they brought the first sheaf of wheat as a thank offering to God that he had provided for them, not just this year, but that he had given them this promised land of Canaan, that he had led them safely from Egypt through the wilderness and brought them to the land he promised, a land flowing with milk and honey, a good land, where God promised to provide for his people Israel for the whole duration of the Old Testament. The day of Pentecost was also commemorated by the Jews as the commemoration of the giving of the law at Mount Sinai, originally through Moses, which took place 50 days, either exactly 50 days or nearly 50 days after the people of Israel left the slavery of Egypt. And they walked from Egypt down to Mount Sinai. And 50 days after they left, again, 50 days after Passover, the law went out from God from Mount Sinai through Moses. The Ten Commandments were spoken to the people. But the Old Testament had now been fulfilled after Jesus had come. He was the heir of that Old Testament, first made with Abraham and renewed at Mount Sinai. And before he died, he instituted that New Testament in his blood. The law of Moses given at Mount Sinai had been perfectly fulfilled by Christ. The old Passover done away with because Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. Now Christians don't celebrate the old Passover anymore. Instead, we celebrate the new Passover, Easter. And in the same way, the Christian church doesn't celebrate the old Pentecost, but now the new Pentecost, the one which the prophet Isaiah foretold. Now it shall come to pass, Isaiah wrote, in the latter days, that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. Many people shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Now a new law has gone out from the Lord, not from Mount Sinai, but as Isaiah foretold, from Jerusalem. A new word, not a law of slavery, but a law of freedom. God's promise of salvation by faith alone in the Christ whom he sent, and the continual teaching and the continual renewing of God's people as we are transformed into people who truly keep God's commandments, not by force or compulsion, but gladly, willingly. All of that, the going out of the word, the faith that is produced by it, the continuing, ongoing renewal of God's people, all of that is the work of the Holy Spirit. You heard today in the reading from Acts of the signs that marked the Holy Spirit's outpouring on Jesus' disciples as they were assembled together in Jerusalem. The loud sound of a mighty rushing wind, the appearance of those little tongues on the heads of the disciples of Jesus like fire, and that speaking in different languages, many different languages that Jesus' disciples themselves didn't know or speak, suddenly they were speaking the wonders of God. And those particular signs from the day of Pentecost only happened once. They were never repeated. Because this was the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon the tiny church of Christ on earth. The only thing that was repeated occasionally after that was that some people were enabled to speak in different languages for a brief time. As confirmation that the Holy Spirit, who had been outpoured on Pentecost, was still present in the earth and still confirming the testimony of the apostles. What did those miraculous signs mean? First, they showed the miracles from God. They showed all the crowds of Jerusalem that these disciples of Jesus gathered together were from God and were approved by God, which means that Jesus himself, whom they worshipped, Jesus whom they confessed, was also from God and was approved by God, that Jesus was indeed the Christ whom God had sent to Israel, whom they had crucified, but whom God had raised from the dead. The flames of fire that appeared on the disciples' heads were a sign that God, the Holy Spirit, was descending upon his disciples, even as he did at Mount Sinai. Listen to what Moses wrote in Exodus 19 as they stood there at the mountain. Mount Sinai was completely in smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire. Tongues of fire and the loud sound of rushing wind were a sign of how the Holy Spirit would blow like wind throughout the whole world and how he would work in the world through the tongues of men, through the sound of preaching, and the many different languages that were spoken by Jesus' disciples on that day were a sign that the gospel of Christ, the law of the New Testament, is not only for Israel, but for all nations. The blood of Christ had been shed for the sins of all the nations of the earth. All nations should repent of their sins. All nations should believe in Christ and be baptized for the remission of their sins. And all nations would receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now listen as I read to you the rest of the words that the Holy Spirit inspired the Apostle Peter to preach on that day of Pentecost, and those words that he also inspired St. Luke to record for us of the happenings of that day and shortly thereafter. The rest of Acts chapter 2. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and heed my words. For these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and that awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. For David says concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart rejoiced, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence. Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne, he, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand, till I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. And when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children, and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Luke's account there in Acts chapter 2 tells the whole story very simply and plainly. Just a brief word yet about the effects of the Holy Spirit's coming that day of Pentecost. You see, in Peter's preaching, the understanding that he finally displays there about who Jesus is and the significance of Jesus' life and death and resurrection. Things finally clicked for Peter and the other apostles. That was the Holy Spirit's doing. As Jesus promised that the Holy Spirit would teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. You see the boldness and confidence of Peter and the other apostles. Before, they were timid and afraid, hiding in fear of the Jews. Now, they're preaching boldly to all Jerusalem and ready to be recognized as Christians, no matter what the consequences might be. You see, the effects of the Holy Spirit as he worked on the crowds through Peter's preaching. 3,000 people believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and were baptized on that day for the remission of their sins. And then you see how the Holy Spirit continued to renew those believers in love and to conform them to the image of Christ as they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. They kept praying together. They kept gathering together around word and sacrament. They shared what they had willingly with one another as anyone had need. They rejoiced in God's salvation. And they acted in love toward all their neighbors around them. All of that was the Holy Spirit's work. All of this is what the Holy Spirit has continued to do through his church for almost 2 millennia. And all of this is what the Holy Spirit will continue to do in you and through you. He will teach you. He will give you understanding of Christ and his word. He will fill you with joy, even as you suffer under the cross. He will fill you with boldness to confess Christ before the world. He will bring more unbelievers to repentance and faith in Christ and to holy baptism by the power of the gospel, when and where he pleases. And he will continue his ongoing work of sanctification in you who believe, conforming you to the image of Christ, so that you act in accordance with God's commandments more and more, though never perfectly, until the day of Christ's coming. This is what we celebrate today, and really every Sunday. Christ has sent the Helper, the Comforter, to us, to his Holy Church. And so as Jesus told his disciples, upon whom he would send his Holy Spirit, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.